Welcome to this special edition of Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRood, and our special guest today is Thomas Emanuelson, CTO at GapWaves. Welcome, Thomas.
Hi, Pat, and hi, Gary, and thank you very much for inviting me here.
It's great to have you on the show. So some people might not be familiar with GapWaves, so can you give us a little overview of the company and your unique technology that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. I will do that. So GapWaves is a company founded in 2011. It was started up as a startup from Chalmers University of Technology by Professor Percy Machildor after long time research. We were introduced to the Nasdaq First North in end 2016 and brought up the company from there. We are today approximately 30 people doing microwave and millimeter wave design, especially in antennas.
So tell us a little bit about the GapWaves technology, the GapWave waveguide, what problems it solves and what applications are well suited for it.
Yeah, sure. So the GapWave guides technology is, as I said, it's basically long time research based on hard and soft surfaces. And it's a way of actually mitigating the problem of building waveguides, connecting the waveguide walls to the waveguide lid. And as anyone that has been doing that as a millimeter wave designer, you know the hassle of connecting waveguide walls to the lid. And that is what you actually avoid when doing using the this what we usually daily call the pin structure. So you can build waveguides without connecting physically the waveguide walls to the lid, avoiding their glue, silver epoxy, brazing, welding, or 1,000 screws or something like that. So you can build multi-layer waveguides instead easily by doing this. The applications that we're actually looking into is basically phased array antennas is the first thing that we're doing, and we are targeting, for example, right now, 5G systems where you need a phased array antenna at anywhere from Ku band up. We are currently doing development at 28 GHz and 24 GHz, building the low-loss antennas in waveguide technology using the gap waveguide as a connection mean for the multi-layer structures, and also to introduce the PCB with the components into the antenna structure. The other thing that we are doing is automotive radar, and in the light of having self-driving cars and so on, it's very essential to have a good sensor, and going up in frequency to between 76 and 81 GHz is a very good way to use waveguides. You get rid of a lot of losses and can do a very efficient antenna in that way. Typically for an automotive radar, you say that you double the target area that you're looking at, and you can play around with the waveguide ports and the antenna to do different pattern shaping and so on. It's a very efficient antenna. For the 5G, typical antenna has an efficiency of the antenna as such has an efficiency of around 90% compared to a PCB type antenna that is most likely around 50%.
So the main challenges that you have in 5G millimeter wave is losing any kind of power. So your antenna is more efficient. How are you managing to integrate it into 5G millimeter wave systems?
So what we're doing right now is building this complete phased array antenna module. It's integrated with the components. The gap waveguide technology also has a very good way of connecting the PCB to the antenna structure, which is normally very difficult in a waveguide antenna. We do that again using the gap waveguide structure. We have full beam steering capability and up-down conversion inside the antenna. So there's an interface for controlling as well as IF and LO injection into the antenna.
One of the interesting things I've noticed is you do waveguide filters. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages of using the gap waveguide for filters?
Yeah, so actually several applications for doing that. So specifically for the 5G antenna, we have as an option, you can introduce a separate waveguide layer containing filters per antenna feed. So we can build waveguide, very low loss filters into the antenna. Specifically, this is, we have been looking at several different filters, But main target right now is this EESS band, where we have a very narrow guard band from the lower N258 band, that's 24.25, down to the ESS band, which is 24 gigahertz. And we can build a four-pole filter having zeros and so on to cut out the injection of any spurious or noise into the ESS band. And that is particularly well suited for doing the waveguide, multi-layer waveguide structural technology.
And you also do some flange adapters. Talk about that.
Yeah, so flange adapters is a specific way of using the technology. We actually, in our lab, we're using this frequently, connecting anyone that has been doing connecting waveguide at V or W band or E band knows the hassle with all the screws, especially if you want to do multi-measurements and you need to screw and unscrew and screw and unscrew. So what we can do instead is use on our adapters, which is actually a small insert that you can have in between the waveguide flanges with pin structure. You don't have to screw, you can tolerate up to 100 micron air gap without affecting the performance. So you can easily have volume production or volume lab measurements by just connecting the waveguide by hand or just let them be as they are.
Yeah, you have a very interesting video that we'd like to show, a short video of that technology right now. It's amazing the low loss that it has and how it also is able to adapt to any kind of bending, you know, to a certain extent and still maintain good connection. So let's take a look at that now.
When connecting waveguide flanges together, it's usually very hard to achieve a good connection without tightly screwing or pressing the flanges together. As we see, the mismatch is not caused by misalignment of the flanges. When we press the flanges tightly together, we achieve a good connection similar to the calibrated state. However, the connection is immediately lost when the pressure is released. If we instead use Gapwave's flange adapter, we do not need to use any pressure to achieve a good connection. Here we place Gapwave's flange adapter directly on the guiding pins of the standard waveguide flange, and then we gently push the flanges together. As we can see, we immediately achieve a good connection, with good matching and low insertion loss. This means that we have a very low leakage. We now also show that we have a stable and robust connection that is minorly affected by mechanical misalignments. We can even handle minor air gaps between Gapwave's flange adapter and the standard waveguide flange. As you can see here, we are now going to introduce a 100 micrometer air gap between the left standard waveguide and Gapwave's flange adapter. And even with this air gap, we still achieve very good matching and, more importantly, a very low insertion loss, which means that we have close to no leakage in this connection.
So to summarize, I would like to show some of our latest releases of products, starting with the 28 GHz base station antenna. This one is doing 56 dBm of ARP at 9 dB packed off conditions. And this comes to DC power consumption of below 40 watts. Next generation that is developing right now is lowering the power consumption to below 25 watts. And as a spin-off from this one, we are also taking the filter solutions to standalone filters. This is a typical E-band point-to-point radio filter covering 71 to 76 gigahertz, 0.6 dB of losses, and only 5 millimeter of thickness. And for the higher frequencies, like D-band, we have targeting point-to-point radio antennas covering 140 to 150 gigahertz. This one is a 24 dBi antenna, and it also comes in a version with 32 dBi. Very thin, 6 millimeter of thickness.
So we want to thank you for coming by today and explaining the waveguide technology. It seems like you've got some very interesting applications on the cusp of going commercial, both in 5G and automotive. So we wish you and the company well.
Thank you very much.